Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and you love your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you, Fight Night Extra, where myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis will be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're discussing Kid Galahad's big win over Jazza Dickens, which saw him become the new IBF featherweight champ. We'll be hearing from Joshua Boazzi as well, who headlines Fight Camp this weekend, the final Fight Camp of the trilogy. He takes on Ricard Bolotnik's tough fight. Step up that one for Joshua Boazzi. And joining us live will be the newly crowned Olympic flyweight champion, Galal Yafai. He joins us after winning gold in Tokyo. Plus, what are the latest on Errol Spence after his fight with Manny Pacquiao was cancelled? And we'll hear from Jake Paul, who spoke to TalkSport ahead of his fight with Tyron Woodley. Look, loads to get through on the show. Don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. I think there's only one place to start. Let's firstly welcome in our very own Gareth A. Davis, who joins us, by the way, from his house, not Vegas, not anywhere in America, although he is leaving the country in a couple of weeks, I think. But Gareth, firstly, nice to see you back as well.
I'm leaving. Hang on, first of all, what do you mean I'm leaving the country? No, I'm not leaving the country. I'm a happy Brit.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to the Paralympics.
There you go. You are the busiest man in the business, Gareth. The busiest.
Well, look, it's a very busy time, as you know, in boxing at the moment.
It is.
There's an awful lot going on. After a kind of quiet period for a little while, we talked about it together, you know, off air, that, you know, there was a bit of a lull and a bit of grey cloud over,
yeah.
Or a dark cloud even, over boxing when not in a kind of issue way, but everyone was looking forward to the big heavyweight fights. Mm. And, you know, they fell, well, the big one fell through, and then Tyson Fury's fight with Deontay Wilder fell through, and, you know, Manny Pacquiao's fight's just fallen through. But at least they found an opponent on the undercard straight away, and they're having a fight. So it's brilliant, you know.
Mm. A good opponent as well.
Oh, it's a great opponent. So, I was with Manny Pacquiao, when was it? 8 days ago at the wildcard gym, you know, so it was... I had a lunch with him. I hadn't seen him for 2 years. I had a great catch up with him. Had half an hour with him. It was such a privilege. He's just an amazing, humble man. And I really think, you know, we have to appreciate sports people like him who come from nothing, literally total abject poverty. And he's just an inspirational human being. He's got his failings. He's got his skeletons like everyone else, you know. And he's kind of confessed them all. He's why does he fight? As I love to ask him, because it's God's will.
I love that. You know? Honestly,
I really love it. I'm a happy bunny. A happy bunny.
Honestly, fantastic work you've been doing out in the States as well. I know you just recently spoke to Lauren Price. We'll talk about that. But let's start at the top with Kid Galahad, obviously beating Jazza Dickens for the vacant IBF featherweight title. I've been at Fight Camp covering those events, and it's weird because I saw Kid Galahad at the weigh-in and I was convinced there was only 5 or 6 rounds in him. He looked really, really gaunt at the weigh-in. And I look, obviously all these fighters come in and they cut a lot of weight, but he obviously cut a lot of weight to make that featherweight limit. And in the end, though, come fight night, he's back up to his kind of big, strong self. And in the end, I think he just proved a level above Jazza Dickens on the night. And look, he's now obviously looking for big, big fights. He signed a new contract with Matchroom. He looks good. And I think it's about time he goes now, because there's always been a lot of hype and promise with Kid Galahad.
Well, I did my research, because when Fight Camp and DAZN launched, I was there with him and we had a wrestle. I grabbed him at one point and, you know, he's not the biggest fella in the world, but I tell you what, he is immensely strong. And he's a real seasoned pro now, as is Dominic Ingle at what he does.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy what everyone else was saying. I think he's the best featherweight in Britain right now. I think he's, I really do. I mean, I think
above Josh Warrington. Yeah.
Well, yeah, above Josh, even above Michael Conlon. And I think above Lee Wood as well. And I love Lee Wood, and I love what Lee Wood's done. And I'll probably end up having a big discussion with Ben Davison about that when he hears this.
But, I heard the conversation.
Yeah, I know. Hey, we got them on Saturday night. That was presenting good. On Fight Night. We got another Fight Night on Saturday night on Talk Sport. And I think Galal's joining us on that, and Lauren Price is as well. So it's a great time for celebrating all this. But I tell you what, I had a wrestle with I grabbed Kid, yeah?
Yeah.
And he got me in a headlock. I think it was pretty quick he got me in a headlock, because they do a little bit of grappling up at the
Ingle Gym.
The Ingle Gym, because I've seen Liam Williams and Dominic Ingle going at it on the floor as well, grappling. And they filmed that and put that out for. And physically, he is a specimen. I think Kid has that awkward style where he can box or he can fight. And he just showed that, and I mean this sincerely towards Jazza Dickens, I'm not disrespecting him. He looked a class above, and Jazza
he did.
Has got an amazing heart. And you know, he's a great, great man with an amazing story. I'm sure I've told you the story of when he was very poor when he was younger and he couldn't afford to go to the gym. He made a ring out of plastic bags above a derelict shop. And did I tell you about that story?
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary, isn't it? He's a really inspirational man. I feel quite emotional talking about him right now. And
he's been through a lot. He's been through a lot.
His
mum and dad as well. He's been through a lot,
Been through so much, and he's very open about it. And I think he's an emotional man. He draws emotions out in us. And I love him for that. And people like that make me want to do what I do. They really do, Eddie. Like, that you want to tell their story. I'm a storyteller, aren't I, you know?
Yeah.
I love telling stories, writing stories, and like to put people out there for the wider public to see what you can achieve, what you can, you know, how people grow so amazingly out of adversity sometimes, and that we can take those people as examples in life. It means so much, and I mean this genuinely. It means so much, and I think we've got some amazing featherweight fights coming up as a result of that last weekend, and Michael Conlon winning the night before against TJ Doheny, and you know the lineup in September with Josh Warrington rematching with Mauricio Lara, which I think is a very dangerous stylistic matchup for him to go into that fight after losing earlier in the year in a shock loss. So no, very, very impressed with Kid Galahad. He for me now is at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, look, I mean, the world's his oyster, right? I mean, there is Navarrete in America. There's Gary Russell Jr. And you're right, over here, there is Lee Wood.
Leo Santa Cruz. Amazing. You know, if we could get all those Americans and Mexicans over here to fight our guys, it would be absolutely stunning for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and look, I wouldn't be afraid of chucking Kid in with any of those. A quick word on Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao, obviously, look, it's a fight we were all desperate to see. I mean, I was having a GOAT conversation with someone. I was like, if Manny Pacquiao beats Errol Spence, I mean, I can bring anything to the table. I'll make an argument to say he's top 5 of all time. And then
top 20.
No, top 10. I'll give you top 10.
Between 10 and 20. It's a big debate. I mean,
it's a great debate, isn't it? We should have a whole episode on just that debate. It would be fantastic for an hour. Yeah. It's a great debate.
It's a lot of argument.
It will, and it always does, right? It always does. But obviously, Errol Spence out with a torn retina or a detached retina. I mean, that's a serious injury. I mean, I remember speaking to Michael Bisping about what he had to go through having the same injury, and not just how it affected him in his fight. It's just affected him in life. So I do pray that Errol Spence can recover from it. It's been a crazy year and a half for Errol Spence, but disappointment that we're not going to see that one. Might not ever see it.
Yeah, we might not. You're right. I mean, we don't know how bad the injury is for Errol Spence. And obviously, he's been through a lot with a car crash already as well. That extraordinary car crash that he's managed to recover from, where his car rolled, it looked like about four times. It was just, you know, it looked like a Formula One crash, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was extraordinary. And you know, thanks to whatever's above for keeping him alive and through that.
Indeed.
So, you know, it's still good that this fight's going ahead against Hugo. So, you know, I'm still looking forward to seeing Manny fight. I did favour Errol Spence in the fight, but once I was with Manny and around his people, everybody was persuading me, no, he's going to do it and he's going to beat Errol down the stretch and tire him. So, and this isn't his last fight either.
Yeah.
So, because he still loves fighting, but he can choose to run for presidency in the Philippines next year if he really wants to, because he's 42 now, and you have to be 42 to run. Can you imagine? I'm sitting having lunch with Manny, talking to him 8 days ago about, is he going to run for president of the Philippines to be president of 110 million people on a series of islands in
it's crazy, isn't it? Isn't the world crazy when you think of things like that? Like, you were in the wild card gym with Manny and Freddie Roach, talking to what could be the next president of the Philippines.
Yeah,
and he knows you.
Well, it's more kind of sitting there, seeing him and just chatting to him, seeing his humility. I've noticed him change in anything but a better way in the last 20 years, which is about the time I've probably known him, maybe 15, 16 years. And I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. He's really matured into his political leanings as well. And God, he's such a strong character. I did pinch myself when I headed off to the airport afterwards to come home, because like, I thought, you know, treasure these moments, because not everybody gets to spend time with him and talk to him about his life. And you carry that inspiration with you. I'm probably a little bit emotional today because I've just spoken to Lauren Price, spoke to Gal Al-Yafai last night as well. There's a lot of inspiration around at the moment, Eddie.
I like it. Share me some of that inspiration. Bottle it up and send me the bottle, Gareth A. Davis there. All right, you're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, in partnership with DAZN, exclusive broadcaster of Matchroom's Fight Camp. Free weekends of fights for just $1.99. DAZN game change. Shortly, we'll be hearing from the man set to headline this weekend's Fight Camp. That's Joshua Bawatsi.
Question is when they pull the trigger. Got to get this done and maybe one or two more. Lovely right hand, and it followed up, and that's good night. It is all over.
That's that right hand again from Bawatsi. Just can't get his chin out of the way, and there's a beautiful right shot. Legs almost went. Bob Williams having a close look. He's about to step in here. Joshua Bawatsi has won
that right hand, Adam,
in the second round, as he takes his bow. Jamie entertaining AJ at ringside, and that was punch perfect. A terrific performance in fight number four from Joshua Bawatsi.
This is Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, Fight Camp returns to the Matchroom HQ with three weekends of big fights. And now let's take a look ahead to the final weekend of matches in partnership with DAZN. Britain's Joshua Bawatsi returns to the ring this weekend to headline Fight Camp as he takes on Latvian Rikards Bolotniks. Bawatsi is unbeaten in his 14 fights as a professional, but knows he faces another step up in class this weekend. He caught up with TalkSport's James Avunja fresh off the back of his training camp in the States and says he's feeling great ahead of his return to the ring.
Just over a week to go, but I'm looking forward to it, man. Got a good opponent, top 10 rankers across all the boards, but I've trained hard, as I'm sure he's trained hard as well, but you know, I've worked hard, and less than 2 weeks away now, we'll find out who the better man is.
How do you reflect on that last performance against Los Santos, a fourth round stoppage? Do you feel like you're able to to show off some of the things you've been working on with Virgil? I know you'd only been together a little while.
No, I don't feel I showed too much, to be honest. Maybe a little, but not too much. But I think most importantly, as the fights go on, what I've learned and that will show people see it or translate people over to see, oh, he's doing something different now. Hopefully in the next fight coming up that I've got, we'll be able to see a bit of that. But I remain quite optimistic with it all.
That was your second camp in America. Do you see that being the long-term future for you heading out there with Virgil? Do you feel like you're feeling the benefits already, maybe having a longer camp this time?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the more camps we have, the easier and the more like we'll gel together, you know. It's quite straightforward now. This camp was quite smooth because, you know, when he's describing something or saying something to me, I catch on to it straight away. Whereas the first camp, I may be like, oh, what does that mean? Or what is this? Or what do you mean by that? But like now, it's a lot more straightforward. If he says certain things, I understand it. I know what to do. And I can just keep adding and we can learn quicker and kind of progress on. So yeah, it was quite smooth, this camp.
Next Saturday, you fight at Fight Camp, the third weekend of Fight Camp. I don't think we've spoken to you since this deal has been reached between Matchroom and DAZN. How do you feel about it?
I think for Matchroom, it's good. You know, DAZN is a global, what word does it use? I don't know whether the word's a network or a station, but bottom line is that they're global, doing boxing in many more countries now, having it available more in many countries now. So I think from that perspective, you have to say it's a good thing. You can't say it's a bad thing if more eyes can watch you. And I think that wraps it up. It's a good thing. It's a brilliant thing.
And how do you feel about the prospect of headlining at Matchroom HQ next weekend?
I look forward to it, man. I enjoy these shows. And to be main event, again, a privilege, but I do look forward to it. And as always, you've got to put in a show. So I look forward to that, man.
You mentioned your opponent. It's Belotnik's next week. And you mentioned about the way he's ranked in various boards. He's very highly ranked with some of them. Does it feel like a step up from what you faced in the last few fights?
I don't really know about feelings, but when we get there in the fight, we'll see and we'll know. I'm still preparing. My mindset's been the same to go out there and to win. I haven't gone to do anything extreme, anything wild that I wouldn't usually do. I've remained doing what I do and I've worked hard this camp. So for me, that's enough. And, you know, on August the 14th, we step in the ring and the better man will win.
You'll be aware of the talk and the excitement which follows around you. Do you feel like this opponent, Belotnik, do you think that will appease the fans that are desperate to see you in these big fights?
Yeah, it should do. You know, people have been talking a lot, James. So I think with this one, I think people in the boxing world know, oh, this is a good fighter. He's got good rankings. Let's see how Gretzky deals with it. So I think, yeah, it should do. But again, man, whether you do good or bad, people always talk. So I can't really read much into it. But I think for those that are following quite closely and know their boxing, they're in for a treat.
You spoke a few months ago when we spoke about how great champions are made by great promoters. They need to be matched correctly. What do you see being the pathway if you are successful next Saturday?
Again, if I am, then it's to stay within those top 10 opponents. This is a top 10 opponent, so I guess it's to stay within there. If my trainer feels, okay, let's get a shot at a world title, then we do that. If he feels, another fight similar to that, then we do that. Whatever it is, man, I'm on board with it. My aim and my sole thinking process right now, James, is to win next weekend. Have I looked past it? I haven't. Have I thought of the what-ifs? No, it's to win, to go in there and to win.
Gareth, it is another step up, isn't it, for Joshua
Buatsi? Yeah, it is.
It's strange with Buatsi. I almost feel like it's been a bit stuck, you know, start, stop, start, stop with him. Obviously, he's had his injuries. He's now gone to America with Virgil Hunter. I think the light heavyweight division over here is actually quite thick and deep, and I actually don't think he's separated himself from the pack here yet. But it's going to be interesting to see what he does against Belotnik's. Obviously, experienced vet, comes to fight, has scored a couple of upsets in his career as well already. Are we expecting a different looking Buatsi now that this is his, second training camp with Virgil?
Yeah, I mean, by the way, that's a great matchup for me with those two, because I love what Virgil Hunter did with Andre Ward for many years. Obviously, he was like a father figure to him as a boxer, and he had him from the age, I think it was 11 or 12, all the way through the Olympics and onwards, where, of course, Andre Ward won light heavyweight gold himself. Or was it heavyweight? I can't remember now. I think it was light heavyweight gold.
Light heavy, yeah.
It was light heavyweight gold, it was. Yeah, gosh, my memory. But, you know, I think what I like about this fight is that, and people don't always take sanctioning body rankings as a given, but Bolotnick's is 3 with the WBA, he's 6 with the IBF, and he's 5 with the WBO. So he is a significant figure in that light heavyweight division, you know, dominated by Artur Beterbiev, Joe Smith Jr., and, you know, you could say Jean Pascal is the world's regular champion with the WBA, and Dmitry Bivol, obviously, the super champion. But I don't think, until now, we haven't seen him in against someone where we can say, right, is he? This is the marker of whether he's ready for those world title fights. He may not be. He may be still be one away from that. He might have to fight like a Badou Jack or someone like that, you know, afterwards. But and I think that'll be a good opponent for him, by the way, if he looks good in this. What I like about this fight for him, stylistically, I think it's a really good matchup, Addy. I've watched Bolotnick's. Bolotnick's is an aggressive fighter, likes to go to the body, likes to throw left and right hooks to the body, and is a big winging puncher, likes to throw a lot of hooks rather than live behind the jab. And I think Joshua Buatsi starts fights very powerfully behind the jab and eases his way into a fight. And I think he'll be faster to the punch in this fight. And I really expect him to chop Bolotnick's down like a large tree round after round. We know how composed Buatsi can be, but I like to see him go through the gears a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's capable of stopping this guy late in the fight, from round 8 onwards. And I think we want a statement performance from him. And I think he knows that, and he's been a bit more strident. He's said a bit more, you know, Joshua is a lovely man, and, you know, he's not one to indulge in smack talk. But he said he wants to go after this guy and make a statement. And I really hope he goes out and does that, because we will be talking about him as a world title challenger then, I think, in the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I agree with you as well. I actually want to see a more aggressive Buatsi. He's as laid back as they come in the lead up to fights, right? He's not going to sell a fight on what he says, because that's just him. He's not the kind of trash talker. But in terms of in the ring, I do want to see a more aggressive Buatsi, which might then lead to what will be, I think, a fun fight, because you're right, Bolotnick's will meet him in the centre of the ring as well. I mean, he's not lost for 7 fights. He's confident. He knows that a win for him, especially on British soil, puts him right there in terms of a world title fight next. So he's in that position as well. I just hope Buatsi gets that win, because I feel like we've been waiting for Buatsi to arrive, and I don't want to rush our Olympians, but obviously he is from the 2016 Olympics. And, you know, we're now looking at the Olympians from 2021, really. And I feel like he should be a bit further afield. So I like to see what Buatsi is going to do in this. I, again, predict him like you did to get the stoppage. And I think that will then be a statement. And then, who knows, right? We don't know what's going on with Canelo and Dmitry Bivol. Why not Buatsi versus Bivol 2022? Why not just go for it? Because I think he's ready for that kind of level if he gets past Bolotnick's.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's... I've thought for a long time that Joshua Buatsi has maybe elite level in him. He's certainly got world level. He might have elite level in him. You know, he's a formidable guy. He's come through, you know, a couple of little tests. And, you know, he's dedicated to the craft. He's a brilliant size for the weight. He doesn't cut a lot of weight. He's got a great chin, all of those kind of things, that all the qualities that we need in a guy who's going to go to the very top level. And I don't mind him not rushing, frankly. I think he's, you know, he's just finding his groove. Hey, he's very aggressive when he sees the finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, I think Virgil Hunter is great for him. And I think we will see a slightly different Joshua Buatsi, a more determined Joshua Buatsi, more determined perhaps to get that outcome that is more dramatic. But look, he's not put a foot wrong. 14 wins, 12 knockouts, undefeated. He showed in the Olympics 5 years ago that he's got it. When he wants something, he goes after it. But he's got a switch. He's got a switch, and he switches, and that's what I love about him.
Indeed.
Really love that about him.
Indeed. Same here. Good luck to Buatsi on the weekend. Obviously, look, he headlines the final fight camp from Matchroom HQ in Brentford. All right, we're just talking Olympics. When we come back, We're going to speak to an Olympic gold medalist. Galal Yafai joins us fresh from winning gold at Tokyo.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes!
And there is confirmation. Galal Yafai is the Olympic champion. A magnificent series of performances through the course of this Olympic tournament, winning five contests out of five. And a dream which was conjured up during his day shift at a car plant in Solihull has come to fruition here on the Olympic stage in Tokyo.
You're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, it's in partnership with DAZN, exclusive broadcaster of Matchroom's Fight Camp. Three weekends of fights for just $1.99. DAZN, game change. All right, we've got a very, very special guest with us right now. It's not every day you speak to an Olympic gold medalist, is it? Let's welcome in Galal Yafai, Olympic gold medalist from Tokyo. Not just Olympic gold medalist. Let's read out a few of these credentials here. You're talking about European bronze and silver medalist, Commonwealth Games gold medalist as well, numerous national championships. I mean, Galal, first, the most important question, I think, we need to get this one out of the way straight away. Did you go and pick up your five guys? Have you done that yet?
Yeah, I went, not as soon as I got back and I went home, and then, yeah, I was straight to Papua.
Yeah, I knew you and your brothers would be there. I mean, this is such an important sort of moment, isn't it, for the family? I mean, Cal Yafai, former world champion, your other brother, Gamal Yafai, former European champion. I mean, what an incredible achievement.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, when I do well, I'm living out their dreams as well. So, yeah, whenever I do well, it looks great on them. And they were just as happy as me winning Olympic gold. So, yeah, it's all good.
What's it like in the camp, the Team GB camp? I mean, when it was assembled, I remember saying it was like a team of Avengers coming together. It's the best, I think, set of boxers we've ever sent to the Olympics. And I mean, up into it, there was a time when obviously you were meddling, but I was like, oh, it'd be so nice for a gold here, just to top it off. And then you get a gold, Lauren Price gets a gold. What was the mood like in the camp when both of you got those gold medals?
Oh, it was great. Obviously, it was a historic game for us. It was six medals, two golds, two silvers and two bronzes. So yeah, as you can see, it was a great tournament for us. Everyone was happy. Just unlucky for the ones that couldn't medal, but they're top fighters and I'm sure they'll be back too. But yeah, overall, great games.
When you think of what's next, look, you're 28 now. I mean, there must be offers coming from everywhere, not just over here with Frank and Eddie, but from America as well. Top Rank must be on the phone all the time trying to sign you up. What's the plan now? Are you going to stay amateur, or is it now a case of turning over? You know, you're Olympic gold medalist. You've done everything you can do as an amateur. Surely now it's a case of chasing those kind of accolades as a pro.
Definitely. You know, I've been dying to go pro for the past 3-4 years. Obviously, I set out my path to stay on for the Olympics after Rio. I did that. I don't know if I regretted it before 2020, you know, with the pandemic and everything coming. But yeah, it's been worth it with me getting that gold medal. But yeah, I'm definitely be going pro very soon and looking to become world champion too.
Love it.
Gal, when you walked through the airport, we've all seen the pictures when you came home.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know if it was in Birmingham or at the airport. I couldn't work it out quite. But
yeah,
there were about 300 people seemingly kind of... I wondered at one point, weren't you being lifted up with a rucksack on your back? And I was thinking, don't bloody drop him now.
I was thinking the same,
Gareth. I could see it on your face. I could see you thinking, hang on a minute, I've been all the way to Tokyo and back. I've got my gold medal. I've got a rucksack on my back. If a couple of these guys fall over, I'm going to end up on the floor on my back.
I know. I had to be careful for the medal as well. I didn't want it to drop and smash. Now, but now it was good to have everyone come and see me, friends, family. You know what? To be fair, I don't really like that fuss. I was dreading it to walking out. But we got it done. And yeah, I'm just glad that they were there to see me.
So where does the ice in your veins come from? Because you were the pretty one. I've got to say, if I was giving medals for coolest people at the Olympics, I'm not blowing smoke here now. I'm not blowing smoke.
A bit of smoke.
No. Hang on a minute, Addy. Hang on. You don't know what I'm going to say. I didn't see a tear in Galal's eye when the anthem. I watched every bit of Galal at the Olympics, right? Didn't see a tear in the eye during the Olympics. I saw a bit of stoicism and a bit of seriousness on his face. His interviews afterwards, there was ice in his veins. He fought with ice in his veins in that final, like he didn't have a care in the world.
Mm.
He gets the gold medal for the coolest ice in the veins at the Olympics for me. Gets the gold medal, top of the podium. He might not be the biggest fella in the world, but he gets the biggest award for me. Where does that coolness come from? That ability to switch off all your emotions?
You know what? People said that to me. They said, you didn't seem like you were like, you know, it was the Olympic final or you just being given an Olympic gold medal. But it's crazy because I didn't imagine it to be like that, because when I got announced winner and Olympic champion, I thought I'd be crying and I'd be celebrating and going mad, but I wasn't. I was just like, oh, great, like Olympic champion, wicked. Like, if you could see me on a video, you could see me shaking my head after the fight and saying, wow. You could see me saying, wow, Olympic champion. I think it was more shock. It was just like surreal. But you know what it is? I'm always looking for more. I always want more. Like, I'm glad to be Olympic champion, but I still need more. Like, I need to be, you know, doing more things and better things. So hopefully I can do that when I'm pro. But trust me, I'm overwhelmed being Olympic champion. It's like the biggest accolade in sport to be Olympic champion. And I said the other day, I said Muhammad Ali's Olympic champion.
Mm.
You know, fighters like Pernell Whitaker, Oscar De La Hoya, all fighters that I look up to. And I'm not on their level, but one thing we all share in common is we're all Olympic champions. So I'm just humbled to be in that position.
What I would say is, and this is my reading of you, how you are outwardly, and exactly that, but I was going to put it in a different way to you, is that by winning that gold medal, Galal Yafai realized that this is just the beginning of the journey now. The beginning of the journey.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was like, I won that gold medal and it was like, that's my amateur career done now. That's just finished my amateur career. I've got a new journey now and it's going to open a few more doors for me as a professional. But I've still got a long way to go now as a pro. Like, I understand I'm Olympic champion and more eyes are going to be on me, but I need to do it as a pro now.
I love that attitude because most people, right? You tick the box, you're an Olympic gold medalist. And that's the big first goal, isn't it? The Olympic gold medalist. But I like the fact that you're saying, no, wait a minute, we've done that now. Not just Olympic gold medalists, Commonwealth and European medals as well. It's like, okay, now we go again. Because some people say it is a big step up to the pros. And I like the fact that you are now going to be the hunted. Hope you know this, Galal. You're going to be the hunted in the pros now. They're going to want to come for your head. Have you kind of thought when you might make your first steps into the pro game? Is there any kind of maybe thought process to 2022 sometime?
The only thing I'm thinking about is I want to fight before the end of the year. So, you know what I mean? So what we're now in August now, September, October, we've got 4 months. I know that I should be fighting for the end of the year. Like, I'm desperate to get in a pro ring. And as the same people come from my head, I can't wait. I love to have a fight. I just can't wait to show people. I can't wait to show people how good I am too. Like, that was my chance at the Olympics, to show people how good I am. And same with other fighters too on GB. Like, we don't get to show how good we are, and we had the chance to in Tokyo. So we'll be able to do that more often now on our pro shows.
One of the things that occurred to me around that was when you look at turning pro, we talk about sporting scaffolding. You've been in what is literally a professional setup as an amateur in Sheffield, yeah?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've seen Anthony Joshua go back there for 9 more years after he's been Olympic champion. Yeah. Carl Froch used to train there when Rob McCracken was coaching him, of course, when he was a professional on that extraordinary run that he had. You know, I think it was like 12 or 13 world title fights in a row, you know, that Carl never got praised for until he fought at Wembley. I think it was in front of 80,000 people. As he
I think it was. I think that's what I heard. Yeah.
And Carl will forgive me that. And because Carl and I have had a couple of street fights so far, staged street fights. I love Carl. The thing is this, when you step away into the pros now, something moves away for you in terms of not being around you. Are you going to keep a relationship with the EIS and Rob and still train there in some senses? How are you going to, because it's a big shift away from that, because then you're organizing everything for yourself as a pro.
Yeah. Now, you know, it is, I'm okay with that. You know, the thing with me is I'm independent, man. I'm selfish. I just want to do well. I just want success. So I don't mind where it comes from, who I train with, where I train. I could train on my own in my garden, in my garage. I don't care. As long as I've got someone to train me and I'm still motivated, then I couldn't care where I train, who I train with. I just want success now.
Who fits your style as a pro, of, you know, be it Freddie Roach, be it Virgil Hunter, be it Adam Booth, be it Ben Davison, have you had a think?
A little bit. Who do you think would suit me?
I like you with Ben Davison myself.
Oh, do you like Ben Davison?
Yeah.
He's not too bad. He's a new up and coming trainer. Yeah, he's not a bad show.
I like you with Shane McGuigan.
You like Shane McGuigan? He's a good trainer as well. There's loads of good trainers in England. There's loads of good trainers. They're both young and very good trainers, and they've both got great fighters as well. So we'll just have to see, won't we?
I had a chat, Addy, off air with Gal, I think it was yesterday evening. And what I liked about what I was saying to Gal was that I want someone, and I can be shot down over this, but Gal and I were just mulling over it, was Gal has the potential to be the style that Vasyl Lomachenko fights in, that Usyk fights in, that Terence Crawford, when he switches to southpaw, fights in, or even in orthodox, Errol Spence, who are come forward counterpunchers, aggressive counterpunchers. And we saw that style from Galal in the Olympics, you know. I know he can adapt his style, because that is a style that puts pressure on the other fighter, makes them fight you, and makes them fight the way you want to fight. Because we talked about that, Gal, didn't we, yesterday? That could be the style that really takes you forward as a pro now.
Nah, definitely. You know what it is? That's years of me watching them. And you know what else as well? I remember like 5 or 6 years ago thinking, okay, I'm small. I'm at a small weight. And I was a bit of a boxer. I thought I was a bit of a boxer on the back foot, a bit boring. I thought, you know what? I need to start going forward and make it a bit more exciting, because no one wants to watch us small guys. So we got to do something extra for people to, you know, take a look at us. So I think that's where I got my aggressive style from. And I just worked on it. And then, yeah, now I'm just trying to kill everyone I try and fight.
Now you just need the swag.
Yeah, that's that will come when I'm pro.
It will.
Amateur, it's all like, as you know, as amateur, it's all respect, and you have to, you know, to bow down and be respectful. But as a pro, you could do what you want. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Final point, Galal, and really appreciate you coming on and talking to us here on TalkSport 2. Quick word about your brothers, Gamal and Kai. Oh, it's Kel, sorry. Look, obviously, so much. You must have had an interesting upbringing with them as well. There must have been fights in the household. It must have made you who you are right now today. But the support they've given you while you've been in the Olympics, I mean, they've been tweeting every single second about you, saying, yeah, semi-final's good, but he's getting gold. Okay, final's good, but he's getting gold. And in the end, you tick all the boxes.
You know what's funny? Yeah, like, I swear to God, like, I'm not joking. They were more confident of me bringing gold back than I was of myself bringing gold back. Like, I could see them putting, it's coming home, Galal was winning gold, yeah. And I was thinking, oh gosh, like, come on, boys, keep it down a bit. I don't want to embarrass myself. You know what I mean? I was like, I love the confidence, but you know, I'm not as confident as they are, and they just show me support. They want me to do well. They bring me up and put me on a pedestal, and thank God I was able to bring it home as well, because I would have looked pretty stupid if I didn't bring the gold home.
No, you certainly didn't look stupid. You've done it, and good luck in the program. And fingers crossed, we do see you sometime in the next couple of months fighting. It'll be interesting to see who you sign with. Gareth, I did want to quickly ask, and this is the thing I think that really makes it stand out even more, is that, you know, that area in Birmingham, I feel like we haven't had a big Birmingham show for a long, long time. We've now got the potential to have a big show, isn't it? I mean, he can headline, his brothers can be on as well. It's there now. That market can be opened up again.
They can call it "Come by the Gold Triple Yafai." You know, I'm behind it. I think it would be, listen. As Gal just said, if they can get that card on, he can turn pro by the beginning of next year. Mm. What an amazing kind of December card that would be at the NEC, NIA, one of those arenas, and get 10,000-12,000 people in there. Yes, please. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Please. Yes. Well, it'd be brilliant.
Ben Whitaker, Fraser Clark, so Deckers can put all them balls on.
All those, all exactly. of them, all of them. Yeah. I like it. Unless, well, it depends if they can all be signed by the same promoter. We know how boxing works, don't we, Galal? I really appreciate it, Conor and Galal. Thank you very much.
Yafai Promotions.
Oh, yeah. Easy, Yafai Gareth. Promotions. Easy, easy. Well, then again, sometimes you've got to start these things early, right? Devin Haney did it. Why not Galal? When we come back, we're going to be hearing from Jake Paul. YouTube fight coming up for him against Tyron Woodley.
Finish him! What a ring! Finish him! And that's when it's over! Jake Paul
is lit.
$2 million, car, in under a minute. Jake Paul has knocked his ass out.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's turn our attention now to YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul, who's told TalkSport he plans to fight Tommy Fury, providing obviously Fury can get some more high-profile wins on his record. Paul is set to take on former UFC fighter Tyron Woodley on August 29th, and Fury has been added to the undercard as well to face one of Paul's sparring partners, Anthony Taylor. Here's what Paul had to say to us, starting with the fight against Woodley.
Yeah, it's a step up in competition, and that's exactly what I want, you know. I want to continue to challenge myself and push myself with each one of these fights. And they're just going to get bigger and bigger, and I'm only getting better and better. This is really just the start, like you said. I mean, I'm just getting warmed up with what I can accomplish here.
You spoke there before about wanting to prove people wrong, and you'll be aware about the arguments there are at the moment about people like yourselves getting in a boxing ring. How do you feel about those people that say you're ruining boxing, whereas on the other hand, there's probably equal number of people saying what you're doing is lifting the sport to new heights, which you spoke about before.
Yeah, look, I understand why people at first were like, hey, this kid's bad for boxing, like, leave him out. I get that, but I respect this sport. I love this sport. I'm a student of this sport. I'm in the gym busting my ass every single day, and I think that just deserves some credit. And all I want to do is, like I said, make boxing more popular, make it more exciting. That will help everyone in this sport grow. You know, I think even Canelo at first was like, YouTube boxing's bad. And then he was man enough to retract his statements and say, actually, I've thought this through. I think this is good for the sport.
29th of August is set to be a huge night for yourself. But also we've got Tommy Fury flying over to the US, making his US debut. He's on the undercard. How much of a role did you have to play in getting him on this card?
I see him as a potential opponent in the future. You know, he has to get through my sparring partner, Anthony Taylor, which I think he's highly underestimating Anthony's skill set. And I personally think Anthony is going to beat Tommy and upset the whole entire world. I wanted to see if Tommy would step up to the plate, put his money where his mouth is, because he says he wants to fight me. He says he wants to, you know, do bigger fights and get involved in the US market. So, all right, now is your time to shine. let's see what you're made of. Most people in the US, or really even in the sport of boxing, didn't really know he existed until he started calling me out and saying he wanted to fight me. Everyone was like, wait a second, Tyson Fury has a little brother? This is crazy.
You say you want to get to the very top of this sport. Your brother fought Floyd Mayweather Jr. earlier this year. Are there any dream opponents that you've got on your own bucket list?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I don't put anything out of the picture. I think anything is possible. This journey is just starting. You know, the biggest names in the sport are talking about me, from both on the UFC side of things and MMA side of things to boxing. You know, I think my goal is to become a world champion, just to laugh and say I did it. And I see a ton of big names on the path to becoming a world champion. And, you know, I think the ultimate fight right now would probably be me versus Canelo. And I always say, like, you know, this Turkish guy and Billy Joe Saunders, like they all went in there and just got embarrassed. You know, I'm bigger, stronger, taller, more athletic than all those guys. If I saw any of those guys in the street, you know, in a street fight, it wouldn't be pretty, my friend. Let's do it inside the ring. No problem.
Always interesting to hear Jake Paul. Very colorful. Look, I think what he's done for the sport of YouTube boxing has almost been fantastic, right? I mean, he has progressed through the opponents as well. It was funny, a couple of years ago, he was fighting Deji. Now he's fighting, and no matter what you say, now he's fighting a former UFC champion in Tyron Woodley, and not a washed UFC champion as well. Tyron Woodley still has something to offer. Obviously, look, Tommy Fury's the fight, it seems like, they want, right? I mean, that's why he's on the undercard, I guess, to try and sell it a little bit. What do you make of this Jake Paul-Tommy Fury thing? Are you on board?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, but he's got to beat Tyron Woodley first. Mm. I mean, if he gets knocked out by Tyron Woodley, it'll be over. But Tyron Woodley's a smaller guy.
Yeah.
He's 0-4 in his last four MMA fights. I think he's been knocked out a couple of times. He throws different kind of punches to Jake Paul. Mm. And he's also, by the way, he's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler who's got into striking as an MMA guy. He's a great former wrestler. And, you know, and I've interviewed Tyron a few times over the years, and he's a fantastic fella. But I've got a weird feeling, a sneaky feeling that Jake Paul's going to win this fight.
Wouldn't shock
and,
me.
Yeah, no, I really do. And I think Tommy Fury will win on his American debut. And I think we will see them go nose to nose in the ring afterwards.
Who's the better boxer then of Woodley, who has done some boxing, obviously, as a former UFC champion, he would have laced up the gloves. Who's the better boxer then, Woodley or Jake Paul?
Who's the better boxer? Well, we'll find out on the night. Yeah. Sorry to say that, but we'll find out on the night. It's a difficult one to answer. But it's who steps up on the night is what I'm interested in, you know? You know, Tyron's got nothing to prove. This is a money fight for him. It's not, there's no beef between them. It's not about, there's no real beef. It's a money fight. It's a business fight. So, and good luck to him. He deserves it. I loved him as a UFC welterweight champion.
Oh, it's fantastic.
But Tommy came on the show on Fight Night on Saturday night when I was presenting, and, you know, he was adamant that, I disagree with him as well. He was adamant that Jake Paul hasn't got the cojones to step up and fight, but I think he has.
He absolutely has.
I know, yeah. He totally has. Yeah. But I think Tommy will hand it to him if they fight. He'll hand it to him. And it'll be a brawl. And it'll probably land on Tommy, but it'll get knocked out.
Why
Tommy
am I Fury. Excited for it?
Tommy Fury will knock
smiling.
Jake Paul out.
I'm excited to see Tommy Fury. What's happened to me?
But let's be honest. You know, I mean, I stayed up in the night to watch his brother Logan Paul, a much, much bigger man than Floyd Mayweather, a very old Floyd Mayweather. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, frankly, you know, he held his own, and, you know, when Floyd was going for it at the end, he couldn't get him out of there. And, you know, but nor did it matter. He made $10 million out of it, didn't he? Did Floyd. I am not going with the purists on this one. As you know, I've been quite, transparent about it, that if these guys want to do it, it's fine. They've got a contract with Showtime for a reason as well, you know. Mm. And if Jake Paul's lost in boxing, he'll go and do an MMA fight. That's what'll happen.
Quick word on Daniel Dubois, who obviously fights on that card as well. I think it was a bit of a surprise to see him added to the card, but I think it's good as well for him to get out in America, for the Americans to see exactly who Daniel Dubois is. It's going to be interesting when they interview him and realize that maybe, you know, he's not the trash talker, he's not the seller of fights. But I like the fact that they're going to see him, and he wants to obviously fight in America, and it's good that he actually gets the opportunity to on what is, in the end of the day, a big card. I mean, this is the card that's going to do numbers.
It is a big card, and it's a brilliant platform for them. And I think it's a masterstroke by Frank Warren to get them on that card over there. You know, Dubois has still got a massive future at heavyweight.
Yep.
In spite of what happened against Joe Joyce last November, I think it was, if my memory serves me right. And, you know, ditto with Tommy Fury, because Tyson Fury has a massive profile in America. So it's perfect. Perfect placement, perfect time.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, this was Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, we're here every single week to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. As always, thank you so much to the great Gareth A. Davis. If you've missed any of the show, would like to listen again, then you can always check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.